How are you at public speaking? It's a big fear for many of us, but off-the-cuff speaking can be just as challenging. When you're asked an unexpected question or a conversation veers off course, the ability to think on your feet and speak spontaneously is a valuable life skill, one that can be tricky to master. Here with some help is Matt Abrahams, author of the new book, Think Faster, Talk Smarter: How to Speak Successfully When You're Put on the Spot. Matt is a lecturer at Stanford University's Graduate School of Business, a communication consultant, and host of the Think Fast, Talk Smart podcast. Here he is with five of his big ideas.
What do you think? Yes, you. What do you think? At some point in our lives, we've all been put on the spot and asked a question like this. Our hearts beat faster, our brow sweats, we feel flustered and overly self-conscious. Being put under the spotlight like this, or in so many other ways, like making small talk, being asked to introduce ourselves or someone else, fixing our mistakes, and giving feedback in the moment, can cause the most confident among us to crumble. We all know that communication is critical to success in our personal and professional lives. Yet we are often not prepared for the moments when we most need to step up and shine. Thankfully, with some guidance, gumption, and grit, we can all learn to be better in-the-moment, spontaneous communicators. I'm Matt Abrahams, and I teach strategic communication at Stanford Graduate School of Business, and I host the award-winning podcast Think Fast, Talk Smart. I am really excited to share five insights from my book Think Faster, Talk Smarter: How to Speak Successfully When Put on the Spot. My book is divided into two parts. The first details a six-step methodology for effective speaking in the moment. And the second part identifies six common spontaneous speaking situations and provides advice and guidance for handling them. All throughout the book, you are encouraged to try specific activities and exercises to develop your in-the-moment speaking skills. So let's get started. Insight 1. Speaking up without freaking out. I'd like you to try something. Cross your arms in front of you as you normally would. Now uncross them and cross them again, this time folding the other arm on top. Notice how weird this feels. For a split second, you're not quite sure what to do with your arms. Your mind becomes detached from your body and you feel confused, uncertain, maybe just a tiny bit panicked. Being put on the spot and asked to communicate can feel like this. You often know what you think, just as you know how to cross your arms. But when the setting changes and the pressure is on, you can feel confused, overwhelmed, threatened. Your fight-or-flight response kicks in. Your heart pounds, your limbs shake, your brain gets foggy. Most of us respond this way when unprepared and put on the spot. You are certainly not alone if you get nervous speaking in a planned or spontaneous situation. The good news is that we can adopt techniques to reduce our anxiety. Becoming more comfortable communicating ideas in any situation without our anxiety kicking into high gear. We can also become more compelling to others. In my experience, the best way to tame the anxiety beast is to take a two-pronged approach. We must address both symptoms and sources. Symptoms are what happen to us physiologically and mentally, and sources are the things that initiate and exacerbate our anxiety. Breathing is an amazing way to reduce many of the anxiety symptoms we feel. Taking a slow inhale deep into your lower abdomen and holding before releasing can reduce many of your anxiety symptoms. A major source that gets in our way is our concern about not achieving the goal that we have. When we speak, we have an imagined goal, and we can be made nervous when we think we might not achieve it. Becoming present-oriented takes us away from our perceived negative future outcome. How do we get present-oriented? We can do something physical, walk around the block, have a conversation with somebody, do like athletes and listen to a song or a playlist. You can even start at 100 and count backwards by 17s. By leveraging some of the many anxiety management techniques I share in the book, you'll be able to create your own anxiety management plan so you can feel more calm and confident when asked to speak spontaneously. Insight 2, connection over perfection. One of the most persistent and unhelpful myths we hold about spontaneous communication is the notion that the best, most compelling communicators express themselves perfectly. Just look at how polished those successful TED Talk presenters are, even though they're speaking casually without notes. Or look at leaders like Apple's Steve Jobs or former First Lady Michelle Obama, who are famously charismatic and compelling when they appear before large audiences. In truth, TED Talks are heavily scripted and sometimes even edited. Leaders like Jobs and Obama spend months practicing and refining their presentations. We often confuse these planned, perfected communications with what we encounter more frequently in our lives, spontaneous, off-the-cuff remarks. We evaluate how we do in these everyday situations using standards we apply to rehearse talks. That's a mistake. Rather than aiming for perfection, as we might do in our presentations, we should instead embrace connection and focus on how we might best engage in the moment. By training ourselves to quiet down our critical evaluation, we can lower our stress levels and better accomplish our communication goals. Once we've granted ourselves permission to engage without obsessing over our performance, we can dial down our reflexive judging and evaluation by accepting and even embracing mistakes when they happen. Stressing over every little mistake we make or might make is mentally taxing. Think of how much more present and connected we could be if we weren't obsessing over screwing up. To embrace mistakes, we can learn to adjust how we think of them, not as the opposite of success, but as a means to it. I find it helpful to envision mistakes as missed takes in the making of a film. When a crew films a scene, they'll often do several versions or takes. They might do a close-up instead of a faraway shot, have the actors stand instead of sit, have them modulate their tone. They do this not because any one take is right or wrong, but because the director and crew want to broaden their options. They seek out variety, takes that might be more creative, unique, or imaginative. You can think of your communication situations as opportunities to try out possible approaches. If we do, what we experience as a mistake becomes just another take among many, one that helps illuminate what better communication might look like. Mistakes in this vein can focus our efforts. Rather than diminishing us, they can empower us and put us on a path to become better communicators. Reframing errors as missed takes allows us to focus on connection over perfection. Insights 3. Opportunities over threats and challenges. Many of us see spontaneous speaking situations as scary and threatening. We feel as if we're being judged and evaluating. Q&A is about getting the right answer. Small talk is about being delightful and engaging. Toasts are about honoring people enough. When we see situations as threats and challenges, it affects our demeanor and tone. We speak quickly and abruptly. We hold our bodies tightly. Our tone is curt. What if we saw these situations as opportunities to extend and to expand, to connect and engage? Our entire demeanor and tone would change. Once we reframe our spontaneous speaking as an opportunity to extend, expand, and collaborate, we must also turn the volume down on our ruminations. Duke University's legendary basketball coach, Mike Krzyzewski, or Coach K as he's often called, famously came up with the advice widely practiced in sports of next play. If you miss a shot in basketball, swing and miss in baseball, or throw an interception in American football, you should quickly reset your mindset and keep going. Focus on the task at hand rather than on what just happened. By the same token, if you sink a three-pointer, hit a grand slam, or throw a touchdown pass, you also should keep going. Athletic competition is fluid. To perform at your best, you should try to stay focused on what's happening now and not allow what just happened to distract you, regardless of how devastating or wonderful it might be. As Coach K once put it, whatever you have just done is not nearly as important as what you are doing right now. For many of us, shifting to a next play mindset might seem daunting. We're used to attaching emotionally to past outcomes, and we struggle to break that pattern. If that's the case, we can practice staying in the moment and moving on to the next play. Budding improvisers often learn a game called New Choice. They start performing a scene, and at various points in the scene, the organizer of the game shouts, "New Choice." Performers drop the current scene or choice they just made and begin a new one, uttering whatever snippets of dialogue come to them. You can play this game yourself using a timer to ring at a given interval or by enlisting a friend to shout "new choice" repetitively at odd intervals. Doing this for even just a few minutes can help you become habituated to simply leaving what you're doing and moving on. The next time you find yourself in a spontaneous speaking situation where things aren't going as planned, don't dwell on it. Allow yourself a brief moment to feel emotion, then refocus and move on to the next play. Insight 4. Pace, space, grace. We are bad listeners. We often listen just enough to get the gist of what people are saying so we can then begin to prepare our responses, judge what was said, or transition to what we think is more important. Imagine you come out of a meeting with a colleague, and your colleague asks you for feedback. Upon hearing that request, you immediately go into all the things that didn't go well or could have gone better. But if you had listened more closely, you might have noticed that your colleague had exited through the back door, not the front door like you. You might notice that they were looking down and speaking softly. What they really wanted in that moment was not feedback, but support. And the fact that you gave feedback only made things worse. To truly connect with our audiences and increase the likelihood of responding appropriately, we must fight distraction and orient ourselves towards our audience. We must listen to what they're saying and how they're saying it, paying attention not just to the words, but to the nonverbal and situational signs that evoke their deeper emotions, desires, and needs. Drawing on his experience playing college basketball, Stanford lecturer and consultant Collins Dobbs has created a useful three-step framework for handling difficult conversations. He calls it pace, space, and grace. With his permission, I've adopted his framework to help us become better listeners. In essence, this framework prompts us to slow down just a bit, reflect on what might be going on in the minds of others around us, and cue into our intuitive sense of what's happening. The end result is more empathic listening and better, more informed communication in the moment. First, we need to focus on pace by slowing things down. Life comes at us fast, and we need to slow down so we can listen better. We also have to give ourselves space, both physical space, be in an environment where you can actually truly listen, but mental space. We have to focus on what's happening in the moment. And finally, we have to give ourselves some grace, permission to stop what's going on and really listen, not just to what's being said and how it's being said, but to listen internally to how we're responding and feeling. By slowing down, making space, and giving ourselves permission to listen to what we hear from others and ourselves, we not only respond better, but we connect more. Insight 5, structure sets you free. There are several counterintuitive ideas in Think Faster, Talk Smarter, but the two biggest are first, we must prepare to be spontaneous. That's what the first four insights were all about, preparation, managing our anxiety and minding our mindset. The second big counterintuitive idea is leveraging structure makes it easier to be creative, concise, and clear when speaking spontaneously. Many of us might think that a structure would prevent us from being agile and adept in the moment. Quite the contrary, structure doesn't impede spontaneous communication, it enables it. When the best jazz artists improvise, they're not just playing whatever random notes pop into their minds. They're improvising within the bounds of informal, preset musical structures. The melodies and chord progressions they have learned and practiced serve as structures for improvisation. The existence of preordained structure makes it easier for jazz musicians to compose spontaneously. Song structure also helps orient listeners, giving them a logic that they can follow. Just like in jazz or other structured spontaneity, like improvisation or playing a sport, structure helps you and those you are playing with and for. When communicating, structure helps you focus your thoughts and ideas, and it helps your audience too because you package your message in a clear, concise way. To me, structure is nothing more than a logical connection of ideas that have a beginning, middle, and an end. There are many structures we can use to help us shine in spontaneous situations. In fact, I provide many throughout my book, and many more will be provided in a live website I'll periodically update. Let's get specific, though. Allow me to share my favorite structure with you. What, so what, now what? It's my favorite structure of all time on account of its simplicity and versatility. It's just three simple questions you need to answer. You start by discussing an idea, opinion, product, service, or argument. That's the what. Then you explain why it's important, helpful, or useful, why it matters and is relevant. That's the so what. You end with what your audience should do from here with this knowledge, how they might apply it, what actions they should take, and so on. That's the now what. Let me give you an example. Let's again assume your colleague asks you for feedback. And after confirming they really do want feedback and not support, you might say, "That meeting went well, except when you talked about the implementation plan. You spoke quickly and didn't give a lot of detail." That's the what. When you speak quickly without giving a lot of detail, Your audience might think you're not prepared and you're a bit uncomfortable. That's the so what. The next time you speak on the implementation plan, talk more slowly, and I want you to add these two specific examples. That's the now what. Not only can you give feedback, you can provide updates, write emails, and even structure a summary of your latest book using this structure. Yes, that's right. I used what, so what, now what to describe each of my insights. I told you the point, explained why it was important, and showed you at least one way it applies. Leveraging a structure truly sets you free from worrying about how you're going to package your messages so you can focus on what you're going to say and how you're going to connect it to your audience. The ability to speak successfully in spontaneous situations can dramatically impact our personal and professional lives. Deals are won, relationships initiated, questions answered, and so much more. Whether we like it or not, the need to speak spontaneously is part of our everyday lives. The good news is that with repetition, reflection, and feedback, we can get better at our in-the-moment communication. By following the guidance found in my book, Think Faster, Talk Smarter, and my podcast, Think Fast, Talk Smart, and leveraging the resources at mattabrahams.com, we can all learn to think faster and talk smarter so we shine when put on the spot.
Thank you, Matt. That was Matt Abrahams with five big ideas from Think Faster, Talk Smarter, How to Speak Successfully When You're Put on the Spot. You might also like our book bite for I Have Something to Say, Mastering the Art of Public Speaking in an Age of Disconnection by John Bowe. I'm Michael Kovnat. Thanks for listening.